Brethren, it's always a joy to be here and meeting Pastor Mitch more than once a year now in India. So we thank you and appreciate you, all your prayers throughout the year and your support and encouragement and help with the ministries, not just among the Tamil people now, even among other language groups. In India, I'm very happy to see some of the people from Andhra Pradesh. I haven't been there yet, but I do have several pastors from that state. We really rejoice in what God is doing among these people and using us. Some of you never been to those places, but yet God is using us and taking the gospel all over the place. Please continue to pray. There are a lot of challenges in that part of the world, but we believe in a sovereign God who works mightily, and in his own time he saves people and he builds churches everywhere. So thank you so much and also greetings from our own congregation, the deacons and the people. We regularly remember you in prayer just as you do for us. Thank you. Finally, all the secrets have come out. Normally, you don't read that in the newsletters I send out. It was unexpected, difficult things that happened this year. While I was keep preaching about suffering from First Peter, some of them, two trips, actually, I thought that I'm not going to make it. So I had to tell them, I'm flying out tomorrow, so I'll make my decisions tomorrow at 9 o'clock. Then I'll call you up. If you have to cancel it, we'll have to cancel it. One of them was a severe cough. Don't know where it came from, and I was put on a steroid and prednisone. Because the doctor said, I don't know what else to give, but I'm hoping this will give a shock treatment and get rid of the cough. So I was all pumped up with prednisone. If you are on prednisone, you would know. And if you take prednisone and preach, that's what I had to do in Oman. Then I had to go to India from there. The second time, my left leg from hip onwards just gave up in the middle of the night. So, and had to get the ambulance and do all sorts of things. And amazingly, within 2 days, I was 85%. It got better. And kindly, Singapore Airlines gave me a wheelchair. And that I would recommend. It's wonderful. Somebody doing the job for you. I couldn't have walked, but I was slow walking. But you know, airports these days, you had to walk a long way. So two trips I had made with a wheelchair, but not anymore. So I'm thankful. The Lord has been good, and nothing was interrupted. Now, if I had written to you and asking for prayer, that you will think he's mad. He says that his leg is not functioning, but he's going. But it had to be done sometimes. It's not easy to making those decisions. Places are paid for. All these men who are coming for conferences, they have paid and booked. It's not just financial loss, but a lot of complications. But our God helped, and it has been not a nice thing at times, but we achieved and accomplished the things that God wanted us to accomplish. So keep your prayers, and even at times you don't hear some of the things, and pray for my health, pray for my strength, that God will minister to us and help us. Well, please turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Peter. As I said, I've been preaching through 1 Peter in our church, so I'm pulling out one of the messages that I preached in our own church. It has been encouraging going through it in so many ways, and you know that you do pray for my wife who suffers fibromyalgia and polymyalgia and a number of other things. So suffering is something we see at home. And she had a major surgery last year. Still, she is not 100%. It takes a year and a half or 2 years to get better. I was told those surgeries. But then some of the things I myself had to go through, they were not very nice. So still trusting in the Lord, you know what suffering is all about. And the Lord helps us to go through it. That's the great thing, that we do have a Lord that we can trust on. He gives us understanding about suffering. You don't have to pull our hair and like the people who do not know Christ and confused and rely on other things to deal with it. But we can simply go to Him for help. And the passage here is, isn't that amazing? Peter is commending these people and recommending to face suffering because Christ is our example for suffering. And so in verse 21, notice in 1 Peter chapter 2 in verse 29, he says, "For this you are called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled did not revile in return, when he suffered he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously." I'm going to stop there because 21 to 23 are the verses that we are going to look at this morning. So let's bow our heads in prayer and then we'll look at these verses. Father in heaven, we do thank you. We thank you for your help to us thus far during this service. We pray that you would help us through your Holy Spirit, that we might understand what you are saying to us through these verses in the scripture. We thank you, Father, for the love that we have for one another. We do thank you for the work of the gospel in which we are able to engage with a like-mindedness. And we thank you for the way in which you are ministering and strengthening our relationship and our friendship and fellowship. We thank you for all the good things you continue to shower upon us. We pray now particularly that you would help us, Father, to hear your voice. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, the Lord Jesus is portrayed in so many ways in the scriptures. There are many images that we read in the scriptures about Christ, and they are a help to us. We see him as a baby Jesus. We see him as a young boy in the temple debating with the religious leaders of the day. And we see him as a powerful teacher of whose preaching that people said there was no one who preached with such an authority. We also see him as a man of compassion, healing the sick and performing mighty miracles. We see him in many images that are given to us that we might understand something of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. But there is an image out of all these images that stands out, and that is the image of Christ as the suffering servant. We see that in this passage. He is portrayed as a suffering savior to us. He suffered at the hands of men in this world and eventually was crucified on the cross for us. It is on the cross that we went through that agonizing suffering in order to accomplish a perfect atonement for his people. Now, Christ's suffering was essential to the accomplishment of the task that was given to him by the Father. Our Lord willingly accepted the will of the Father, and he suffered for sinners. We read in the scriptures. In a day where prosperity is the one thing that people desire after, the suffering portrayal of the Lord Jesus Christ should make us think about life experiences. Now, if you ask anyone out there in the world the question, what is the one thing that you would desire to be free of in life? Now, I'm sure the answer will be suffering, pain, problem, and trouble. Now, contrary to the thinking of many, the Word of God shows us that Christ came to suffer in this world for his people. In addition, Peter in this letter tells us that his suffering is for our benefit. It's for our good. In other words, he was an example to us in his suffering. I hope what we are going to see in these verses about Christ's example would make us think about our response to suffering and Christian living. So let's once again get back to these verses here in 21 to 25 in chapter 2, first chapter. Peter says, "For to this you were called," is already spoken about, and to these first century Christians, how they were called to suffer during those days, and he describes their suffering as fiery trials. They were not ordinary. They were difficult, terrible, fiery trials. And he says to them, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might have lived for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." So in verse 21, here Peter says, "For you have been called for this purpose." What purpose? To suffer for what is right. There is no glory in suffering for wrong. But suffer for what is right. That's what we have been called to do. Because if you have been called to be a Christian, you have been called to be at odds with the world. And if you have been called to be at odds with the world, you have been called to suffer. Face trials, face persecutions. And if you demonstrate your Christian faith, that the world will react badly. You will suffer. You have been called to that. Then he says, since Christ also suffered for you, and then this, leaving you an example that you should follow his steps. Peter says, you have been called to suffering, Christians. Not a promising message to many people. There's no prosperity in it. You have been called to suffering. The first century Christians were called to suffering. Peter says it is commendable. So now look at your example. Who is Christ? Christ is the standard. He's the pattern for our suffering. In his suffering, he sets an example as we suffer for good in this world. That's very important reality. For Christ, the path of glory was the path of suffering. And that is the pattern set for us, for Christians in this world. The path to heaven for us is the path of suffering. And we have seen that already in this chapter. Peter goes on to talk about it. The greater the suffering for righteousness in this life, the greater the glory it will be in the life to come in heaven. So those who suffer most for righteousness in this world will be granted a greater capacity for glory in the life to come. So we have been called to suffer for Christ, and suffering is the path to glory. It was for Christ, and the greater the suffering, the greater the glory. Notice what the writer to the Hebrews says in chapter 2, verse 10. "For it was fitting for him," speaking about Christ, "for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." Notice what the writer says. He says, God has perfected Christ through the path of suffering. And that was God's plan. In another place, in the same book, in Hebrews 5, 8 and 9, the writer says, we read, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Here we see the writer saying the same thing, but in a different way. Christ learned obedience through suffering. Suffering was the instructor of obedience. Christ was perfected through suffering, and he became an example to all who obey him. Christ did not lack anything in him, and he was already perfect. But in his perfect state, he was perfecting suffering. Now, why Jesus had to suffer? Did he do anything wrong? No. He was sinless and he cannot commit any sin. There's nothing he did wrong to suffer. He suffered unjustly. He was mocked. He was ridiculed. He was hated, betrayed, beaten up, slandered, treated with all manner of contempt, and eventually was put to death on the cross. All this happened to him for nothing that he did wrong in life. He did not suffer for any wrongdoing. He suffered unjustly. His unjust suffering was path to glory. If you look at this chapter and read it carefully, you notice Peter saying that we are not to fight for our rights, and we must be willing to suffer for doing what is right. Those days, these Christians had to live like slaves, because the word servant is actually slave. Slavery was common in those days. It was common in those days. And Peter didn't ask them to fight for their rights. Peter didn't ask them to get together as a group and fight against the Romans and the masters. That was the social environment and the system. Peter says these masters can be cruel at times. They can be nasty. Some of them were good, true. But you as a Christian, when you work for these masters, you willingly accept your position and you serve Christ under that condition. He was not teaching them to fight for their rights. There are preachers who say today, it is wrong for us to suffer in this world, and that is not God's will for us. They teach that it is a poor testimony to suffer and to live in weakness. They teach that we must do well and be rich, and God has promised to bless us. They teach that it is our well-doing in this world that brings glory to God, and not our suffering and our weakness. Now, what a horrible teaching is that? It is wrong, and it is a false teaching. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible points to Christ, our example, and shows us that he suffered unjustly, and we must be willing to follow his footsteps in this world. We will be persecuted, and we will be treated unkindly like Christ was. But the Bible says it's our path to the life to come, the path to glory. Notice what Peter says in verse 21. Chapter 2, for to this you are called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. He is our example. The Greek word translated as example literally means he is our copy. It is like giving the children in the school a copy of an alphabet so that they can see them and draw them. They are given a pattern a copy. Christ is the example. He's the pattern that is set before us for our suffering in this world. Then Peter says, then you should follow his footsteps. That means footprints on the tracks. We must follow his tracks. Christ suffered a lot in life. His suffering on the cross was the worst suffering that he had to undergo. He suffered for no wrongdoing and suffered horribly on the cross unjustly. He suffered for righteousness, and Christ was willing to go through that. It is interesting that Peter in this place quotes from Isaiah 53. Peter uses five quotations from Isaiah 53 in this passage. Peter doesn't tell us that it's from Isaiah, but that is the passage that he's quoting from, by good and necessary consequence. Some people, I know a long time ago, someone said to me, David, how can you say it's from Isaiah 53? Peter doesn't tell us. Well, you got the answer this morning, by good and necessary consequence. Comparing Scripture from Scripture, you come to that proper conclusion. God has put it there. That is the way we study the Scriptures. So here we have it. And the New Testament writers often quote from the Old Testament without telling us exactly from where those quotations were taken from. We compare Scripture with Scripture. That's a Reformation principle of interpretation. It is not too difficult to see where the quotes are coming from. A good and necessary consequence, we deduce them from the Scripture. In other words, the Scripture helps us to know where the quotes are coming from when we examine and compare the relevant passages. So Isaiah 53, we see Christ as a suffering Messiah, a suffering servant. The first quote is from Isaiah 53:9, and Peter in verse 22 uses that, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. And look at Isaiah passage in verse 9, chapter 53, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. There we see Christ, and there's no sin in him. He was perfect from the beginning. Now Isaiah says something more which is not in Peter's version of Isaiah. It says that he had no violence. The Septuagint, that is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, uses the word lawlessness for violence. It is helpful because the Septuagint helps us to understand what Isaiah had in mind when he used the term violence in his passage. Isaiah was not thinking about Christ committing a violent act in his life. That wouldn't be right. The idea is that Christ never broke the law, never violated the law of God in his life. Christ never violated the law, and there was no sin in him. Now Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says accurately what Isaiah had in mind. He says, who committed no sin? Who committed no sin? Christ cannot commit sin. As there was no sin in him, he was the spotless Lamb of God. There's no sin in him. He committed no sin. Then Peter goes on to say, nor was deceit found in his mouth. The deceit, that means all types of sin coming from the mouth. Christ knew none of these. The sinless Savior. All sins of the mouth are from the heart. James says in chapter 3 and verse 2, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. A perfect man will never offend anyone with his mouth. Christ was perfect, and he never offended anyone with his mouth. He never committed any sin with his mouth. You remember the thief on the cross? And what he said in Luke chapter 23 and verse 41, "And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds. But this man, he has done nothing wrong." He has done nothing wrong. There are numerous verses in the scripture that testify Christ's sinless perfection. 1 John 3 and verse 5, "And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin." Hebrews 4:15, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with us, with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." Then notice what Peter says in verse 23, here in 1 Peter chapter 2. "Who," that is Christ, "when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously." The word revile means using abusive language against a person. While suffering, Christ never did that. He never used abusive language against all his enemies. The enemies provoked him endlessly. But Jesus never allowed himself to be provoked and never used an abusive word against anyone. When he was tried, he was in total silence. While the soldiers ridiculed him on the cross, Jesus did not punish them. He had the power to do all, but he didn't punish them. Instead, he prayed, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing." Isaiah gives a beautiful commentary about Christ's conduct in verse 7, chapter 53. "He was oppressed. He was afflicted, and he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth." That's beautiful. The imagery is so wonderful. That's our Lord. He suffered for our sake. Peter goes on to say, when he suffered, he did not threaten. He made no threat against anyone. It was a complete, total surrender to suffering. Boy, as I speak, it's hard. Some people would think it is hard. It's a very, very high standard. How can we be? He was sinless. He was perfect. He can do all things. He's setting a perfect example for us for suffering. How can we? Yes, we cannot go through all this in life without him on our own. Nothing we can go through on our own. We need to rely upon Christ. He gives strength, tremendous strength. You know that you people, as we all go through suffering one way or another in life, that he gives tremendous strength, encouragement, and help as we go through suffering in life. Sometimes we marvel at people, Christians. How do they do it? I have a living example in my own home. Fibromyalgia is pain 24 hours. Then you add other stuff that my wife has. And People ask me about her and I explain things, but I remember to tell them, if you see her in person, you will think that I am a clown. A liar. Well, she would look almost perfect and talk to you nicely. That's amazing. God has given her a grace to go through this pain, and I am terrible with pain. Honestly, I'm terrible with pain. I would not have survived, and she still keeps going. God gives the grace. Well, that time that 2 days before I traveled to India, my entire left side leg from hip to toe, just numb. I couldn't move my toe. I'm 1 o'clock in the morning and lying there. And in addition to that throbbing pain, a burning sensation, somebody is just cutting my leg with a knife. That was painful. Horrible. And I managed to get help and everything. And you look back, that's not me. Usually bring the roof down. I honestly don't like pain in whatever the form. But God helped. And can you imagine in 2 days and I'm limping and get into a wheelchair and I travel. The Lord does amazing things. He has set us an example for us to go through even things that we don't normally imagine. He is our perfect example. Christians are called not to fight for your rights. That's the day we live. Everything, you fight for your rights. World does that, and that comes to church too. I'm not comfortable. It's too cold or too hot. All right? That's too old, that hymn. When you bring something reasonable, that's not satisfying. Never satisfied. We fight for our rights. Read the Bible carefully. They were living like slaves. They were slaves. It's horrible. They have no idea what they had to go through in the first century. They have no rights. A slave means it's a thing. It's not a person. You have no rights whatsoever. Can't own anything. The master has the right to do anything with the slave. He can do anything with a slave. Nobody is going to question. A slave running away from the master is suicidal. Nobody will take that slave in. Philemon. That's horrible. You would expect Peter or Christians to be compassionate. Get rid of the system. You've got to do something. You can't put up with this nonsense. Nothing of that you read in 1 Peter. Or they would say he's cruel. There's no compassion. How can you do this, Peter? Telling these people to go through suffering, working all day and suffering, sometimes beaten up, whipping. The master doesn't like anything. Day after day after day, you go through it. You are just a thing. A master is not concerned about your feelings. He doesn't look at you as a human. And here are some Christians, many Christians. I think they were all slaves working. He didn't say, you fight for your rights. Christ is your example. He suffered. Think about it. He suffered for our sake. Think about your glorious privilege in Christ. Forget about what you are in this world now. You are here for a temporary place, for a reason. Your eyes got to be set upon the age to come. And you live here keeping your eyes fixed upon the age to come. You go through these sufferings. You willingly accept this because Christ did. And you are suffering for good, not for wrong. And that is commendable. That is commendable. It is not a weakness if you keep your mouth shut when somebody bullies you or does things to you. The natural reaction in the flesh would be to beat him up. We are not called for that. Well, you see it in your country, right? Yeah. I watch Fox News. That's all I watch. It's terrible. Every other news media is horrible. You can't go near the TV. And I said, we got to give this Fox at least something reasonable. People, how far they go, these people hating Christians, conservative principles. Never, ever in my lifetime has seen this bad. Our country is absolutely a liberal country. Never seen anything like this. No matter what you do, they hate these principles. The children and young people in the day to come, it's going to be tough. This is what liberalism is. The church is buying it. Can't believe it. Our eyes got to open. What this bad stuff is, where it is coming from, the devil, from the evil person. They are not going to put up with us. We must be willing to accept whatever that is thrown at us for the glory of Christ. In every level, physical suffering, sickness, whatever. And we need to bear it. We need to accept it willingly and serve Christ. As Christ is setting an example for us, he suffered endlessly. Never a moment of peace, as it were. He saw that this morning, the groups of people coming, or temple leaders and religious leaders, Pharisees, Herodians, and then Sadducees, all there to trick him, trap him. We can find fault and arrest this guy and kill him. And he went through a lot in life. Eventually, suffered and died, gave his life for us. And he's setting an example for us. You know what Peter is saying? You suffer, you accept suffering willingly and you, while doing good. And that is a powerful gospel message. It is not in fighting for your rights. You think it is fighting for your rights and having a thing to say. Now that is wonderful. No. Keep Christ before you. Accept the suffering and have this gospel purpose before you. The master, it will make your master to think, whether he thinks about it or not, that God is watching you. Think about what he wants you to do. Accept it willingly, commendable. Continue with it. The day is coming. All will be over. But you preach the gospel through your life. By willingly accepting suffering. It is hard when people speak evil about us, misrepresent us, misunderstand us, slander us, and oppose us. But in the midst of all that, you can be confident, but the perfect judge of all will judge you perfectly that is coming. He will make no mistake in judgment. Now that much we can be sure of. So there is no reason for us to retaliate or do anything. God, who is watching, will judge perfectly when he comes. So Christ suffered for our sake. He has set an example to us. So the question is, are you viewing suffering in the light of Christ's suffering? Are you? Do you? Peter says he did not suffer for his benefits, that is Christ, but he did it for us. For us. He is our perfect example. His footsteps that we must follow. I'm not belittling suffering, friends. I know it is hard. We need to be compassionate. We need to be understanding. We need to pray for them. We need to be an encouragement to those who suffer. We need to console them, read the scriptures for them, do all that is necessary to encourage those who are suffering. For suffering is a path to glory in this world, the standard that is set for us. First century Christians were persecuted, killed, murdered, children, everybody. They were going through fiery trials, unimaginable trials. But when these people faithfully facing it and living their life, Christian life, for the glory of Christ, the gospel is spreading. Gospel is spreading. The power of God is working through the suffering of all these people. And His kingdom is being built. It's continuing. It's the same for us in our day. We all don't know what suffering is. Nobody persecutes us, right? We don't know what persecution is. Too much comfort, then a little suffering becomes too difficult for us. But we must read these passages and learn from Christ. Suffering is not a negative thing. God uses it in our lives for His greater glory of His name. May God give us grace to face suffering, accept it, and suffer for good, that may His name be glorified. Be encouraged. You're going through suffering, be encouraged. We all go through, one way or another. Be encouraged. And every time you pass that suffering, you come out of it, you can see how graciously the Holy Spirit has been with you and helped you. And you can look back and give thanks to God. There will be another one. There may be another one. It's all good, commendable. He says, you have been called to this. So you have been called to this. You go and tell anybody, Christ calls you to suffer. That's the gospel message. They won't like it. But He is going to bring glory to Himself through your life and testimony. That's important. So He has set a pattern for us to follow. Be encouraged, brethren, if you are suffering, all will be well in the end. All will be well. It's only a temporary place. But we serve Christ and for His great name here. And if you're not a Christian, I may wonder, what is this He's saying? But I'm talking about a Savior who is able to save us from our sin and help us to glorify His name in this world. Living for Him every moment for His glory. That's what Christ gives. Delivers you from the kingdom of evil and darkness, brings you into the light through the gospel. And with Christ, all things are possible. Think about it. Without Christ, you are hopeless. Simple as that. You are hopeless. There's no good in it. But with Christ, all things are possible. Even facing horrible suffering, you will come through it. You can do all things with Christ. So repent of your sin and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation. He is glorious. He's worth. You can sacrifice everything in your life for Him. He's worth. Let's pray. Now, Father in heaven, we do thank You for Your mercies to us. We thank You, Father, for the example of Your Son and our Lord Jesus Christ for our suffering in this world. He suffered unimaginable suffering as a sinless, perfect person, and He did that for our sake. You would give us grace through Your Spirit that we would be willing to look at suffering in the light of our Lord Jesus Christ's suffering, that we might find comfort and encouragement and consolation, or that we might serve You well with Your help. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.